If you have your Bible, you can go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verse 13 through 16. Like I said, I'm glad to be back in this pulpit. And I'm also glad to be back in Ephesians. We've done some different, you know, Christmas sermon and a New Year's sermon. But I enjoy being back in a book, going through it. So the title here is Act Your Age. Okay, at your age. There's a problem in our society. You can observe this in schools, workforce. You can observe it on sports teams. You can observe it in homes. You can find this problem. You can observe men. You can observe women. You can observe adults. You can observe children. You can observe professionals and amateurs, and it be found. You can observe it in educated people and in uneducated people. And you can keep on and on. You say, what is it? The problem that we have in our society is people don't act their age. In other words, people are not maturing. Now, I'm not talking about physically, but psychologically and emotionally. There are many adults that are not maturing. One article said this: growing older is no guarantee of growing up. And it seems that few of us are getting there these days, stuck in immaturity. The bottom line is many people today don't act their age. This is a sad reality. But what's even sadder is that many people, believers, spiritually, don't act their age. Many believers lack spiritual maturity. And just with emotional and psychological maturity, growing older doesn't guarantee that you're spiritually mature. Well, here's a few facts about spiritual maturity before we get into our sermon. It is possible to be spiritually mature. I'll give you a verse. 1 Corinthians 2:6 says, How bet we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. That word perfect means mature. So, Paul obviously talking to people who are mature. It is possible today, if you're not, it is possible for you to be spiritually mature. In fact, it's something that we should be striving for. 1 Corinthians 14:20 said, be not children in understanding, but in understanding be men. And the word men there is the ideal of mature. Be grown up in your thinking. Be mature. So you can be mature. You should be striving for that. But spiritual maturity can be a problem for believers. I mean, we all have problems, but in our church, one of the problems can be spiritual maturity. Hebrews 5:12 says this, for though this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principle of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. See? The writer of Hebrews is dealing with people, dealing with believers who are immature. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3, and I, brother, cannot speak unto you as spiritual, but as into carnal, even as babe in Christ. Spiritual maturity was a problem. It was a problem for the believers in Hebrews. It was a problem in the believers at Corinth. And sadly, it's a problem in many churches today. And it could be your problem today. That's not for me really to judge. But right now today, you may be dealing, or you may be spiritually immature. It easily is a problem today. This morning, I want to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 through 16 to see how to act your age spiritually. Let's read these verses. Verse 14 it says, that we henceforth be no more children. So you see there the ideal of maturity, tossed to and fro and carried about every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love. So there we see the idea of love. We're going to talk about that later. We grow, see, in maturity up unto him in all things, when he is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in, you see it again, love. So we're going to look at these verses this morning to look at how to act your age. Let's pray. Father, I ask for the next few minutes to be with us. Lord, I know people's here, and like I said, in Sunday school, people got a lot of things on their mind and got heavy hearts. And Lord, I know they got things going on and things they need to do, and I'm in that same situation, that same boat. But Lord, I ask you for the next few minutes, Lord, to help us to clear our minds, Lord, clear our hearts. Lord, help us for a few next few minutes to do what really is the most important thing we can do, and to focus not on what I'm going to say, but what your word teaches this morning. Lord, we're going to look at a topic that probably we're more guilty of this than we realize, of being spiritually immature. I'm going to ask you to help us as we look today, that you'll speak to our hearts. Lord, I ask you to show us where we need to grow, and Lord, help us to leave here wanting to strive to be more mature today, spiritually speaking. In Christ's name, amen. Let's look at three things. Number one, let's look at the principles of spiritual maturity. You see that in verse 13. And I keep saying 13, but it's 14. I put a typo in my sermon. It's verse 14, not 13. So anyway, that we henceforth be no more children. Letter A here is the goal. The goal is to become mature, because that's the principle, okay? If you are a believer, because you're sitting here don't mean you're a believer, but if you are a believer, your goal and what principle the Bible teaches is that we are to be mature, spiritually speaking. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man. So I was wrong. That's why I was thrown off. Into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The first thing I want to look at here is that phrase, till we come. This means to come down to a meeting. It's the ideal to arrive at. It means to reach a goal. It means that we are to try to obtain something, okay? And we're all out here trying to attain something. But spiritually speaking, Paul said, you and by the way, the context here is, I'm edifying the believers. That's about 3 weeks ago, or 4 weeks ago, about a month probably now. But remember that he gave some apostles, some prophets, and said, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So when we're together, when the body's together, when we're coming together, there should be a goal. There should be something that we're trying to do. And that is, until we come and until we obtain. Now, there's three things here. Number one, in unity of faith. Okay? It says that. And by the way, we says this, a side note, the state of which unity is lacking is the stage of maturity. The more unified we are is a statement that the more mature we are. You take a church that's not unified, I guarantee you that's a church that's not mature. Alright, but anyway, the knowledge of the Son, then the last thing what I want to look at the most here, it says this in verse 13. It says here, unto a perfect man. Now that's not describing Brother Darrell Parker. We know he's a perfect man, right, Brother Darrell? That's not what it's talking about. Not talking about Brother Darrell. On myself, Brother Howard here, or Brother Sonny, no, it's not talking about any man. It's talking about the ideal of a mature manhood. Okay, so here's what it's saying. We, as we're edifying, and we're coming together, learning the Word of God, and we're doing these things, we are to try to attain. We are to arrive at a destination, and that destination is maturity. We are to become spiritually mature. Now, who is this for? Well, you'll see there, the first thing you'll see there is for all of us, is as a church. This maturity applies to both the church and the individual. So Fellowship Church is a local church, and this church should be striving, because it says that we, and that we should be striving to be mature. But also, it's singular. The perfect man is singular. We mean each person in this church individually should strive to be mature. And then you say, well, what's our model? Christ. And he said in verse 13, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay, so in simple, we'll get to in a minute, being like Christ. That's spiritual maturity. And Robert Pigley said, for the individual, the standard by which spiritual growth is measured is the perfect humanity of Jesus, okay? So it's not anything else but that. When you say, how spiritually mature am I? Then you can measure yourself by how Jesus himself lived on this earth. Read the Gospels. That is going to tell you, that is the measure in which we should be striving for. That is the measure when you can measure yourself by to know that what I'm supposed to do. Our goal is to be spiritually mature. Let it be here is the guidelines. So you say, well, what's the guideline? How do we accomplish this goal? Well, first, it's not in the text really, but it's pretty obvious, but needs to be stated. Faith in Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. And then a lot of people who, and this like worries me, that you see people who, they try to act like Christ, but they don't have Christ. Well, you gotta have faith in Jesus. Jesus Christ is essential. But here's the next thing here. Let's read verse 13 again. Can we all come in into your faith and of the knowledge? The knowledge of Son of God. Curtis Vaughn, I read behind him in the commentary, he said the Greek word knowledge, I want you to stay with me, is a particular strong word denoting full accuracy and true knowledge. This means that you've got to have more than just some fluff. You've got to have more than just Paul said, the milk. You gotta have the meat. You gotta understand the Word of God. You can't just have just a few favorite Bible verses and go on. You got to learn a few things about the Bible. You know, it can't just be just a verse here and there. We've got to learn it. And that John also said this. In this verse, Paul is not talking about salvation knowledge, but about the deep knowledge through a relationship with Christ that comes only from prayer and faithful study and obedience to the Word of God. Once again, let me read something else. We need more knowledge than just the ABCs of salvation to grow. And that's why, if you're wondering why, that's why I don't get up here and just preach a topical message on salvation every Sunday. Because I wholeheartedly believe this word, this Bible verse here. We are to grow spiritually. And for us to grow spiritually, it's not going to be me getting up here and preaching. I don't think I could do it anyway. Because I don't consider myself that talented of an orator to give you and captivate you. My goal today is not to captivate you. My goal is to teach the Word of God, the deep knowledge of the Word of God. And you're not going to get that if you don't preach through a book of the Bible systematically. That's my personal opinion. You can argue. When you're not going to learn the Word of God, I love the sermon I did on I thought it was pretty clever, Christmas wisdom. And I like my resolution sermon that I preached at my father-in-law's church. I love them sermons. And I'm going to do some more. But that we're not going to learn the deeper knowledge of God by doing that. You know why? Because I hit and ruin. I hit a verse for the mark, I quote it, and I ruin. This We're studying it. We're trying to get the deeper knowledge of God. Because that is the only way you and I are going to grow spiritually. Paul even says in Hebrews, he scolds them for saying, we should quit laying down the foundation and build on that foundation. Now, don't take, please, you're going, I wrote it, some of you are going to take this the wrong way, but please don't. You are going to have more spiritual knowledge than John 3:16 in order to mature spiritually. I'm glad I see Brother Mark shaking his head. Thank you. Because John 3:16 is very essential. That's not what I'm saying. And I'm not saying that's what you're going to have to get saved, but you're going to have more knowledge than just John 3:16 in order to mature spiritually. And on text, the result of this maturity is from 11 through 12. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read them. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry, okay? We'll stop there. Do you know what all these gifts have to do in this text? All them gifts that I just read, spiritual gifts, have to do with revealing, declaring, explaining God's truth. So here is the principle of spiritual maturity. Ready? Here it is. You have got to know more and more of God's word. That's how we're going to mature. The principles here, man, here it is. I'm going to move to the next one. Here it is. Here's the principles. You are to grow in the Lord. You are to mature. And here's the way. For you to do that is by gaining more knowledge of the Word of God. We see the principle of spiritual maturity. Now look at the picture of spiritual maturity. In verse 14 through 15, Paul says, if you do these things that I have mentioned, you'll be mature. Because it says this in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children. And the idea is that you'll no longer be immature like children. So if you come to church and you're edified with people who have their spiritual gift, and we learn more about the Word of God, we have more, and if we grow, we become more unified, all of this together, then the result is that you're not going to be more, you're not going to be like children anymore. So in the other words, Paul describes what a mature child of God looks like. Letter A here, is that you will not become a victim. You say, what do you mean? Well, I'll get to it just in a minute. Stay with me. Here's the villain. If you have a victim, you have a villain, right? And here it is. Ready? There are people who are not concerned about your spiritual well-being. Some people just don't care, or some people who are just out and trying to mislead you. They are philosophies that are not concerned with your well-being. I'll give you a good philosophy that a lot of people think is good. Live your best life. That's not a biblical philosophy. There are practices that you and I decide to do due to our flesh, that's not good for your spiritual well-being. So basically, who you hang out with, what you study, and what you do is very, very important. So here's their goal. The villain has a goal. It's to trick and deceive you. Paul uses these words. Look at verse 14. It says, carried away, carried them to and fro, and carried with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. You know what that means? It means trickery. It's actually where we get our English word cube. Okay? You say, what does that mean? I've never played dice, but you know people gamble, they use dice, and it's a cube. Well, I know I watched enough Westerns. Who was it? You Mark talking about Western, I like a good Western movie. But you know dice, and they'll use them and then load the dice. Loaded die. That's the ideal here. Trickery. Trying to teach you So yeah, there's people, and there's philosophy, and there's practices that are tricking you and trying to deceive you. And the next one is cunning. Craftiness is the idea of clever manipulation of error to make it look like truth. So I'm going to read that again. That's what we're living at today. It's manipulation of error made to look like truth. And then, in case you don't know, verse 14, the last word says, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. So in case you didn't know any of that, you know that immature Christians are very susceptible to being tricked by everything under the sun to be real truth. They're gullible to believe what they hear and think. Usually, what an immature Christian believes is what's easy to do. What sounds good. But, you know, I mean, I'll tell you one thing. I've heard this somewhere. You know, I saw a thing, because I like to fish. And I saw a thing saying, you can worship God better on Sunday. I can worship God better on the lake on Sunday than on Sunday, church on Sunday. Oh, and then they said, but it's better to be on a lake thinking about God than in church thinking about fishing. I got a better one. How about we be in church thinking about God? Hey! Well, see, that's immaturity. That's immaturity. It sounds great. It sounds noble. But it's not. And so here's my answer. If you're sitting here thinking about fishing, then here's what you do. Just keep coming to church and keep praying and get God to help you think about God. But it sounds so great, but it's not. See, that's what immaturity does. You get tricked and deceived by everything you hear. By like that, live your best life. Just be happy. That's not really biblical. So here's the result. So you got the villain, you got the trickery, deception, but here's the result. And it says here, the immature believer, here's a picture of the immature believer. It says, we will be no more children tossed to and fro. So excuse me, a mature believer, guess what? A mature believer isn't pushed around like a boat in the ocean's waves. No, that's the thing. That's what you see and I see. There's people who just can't ever get faithful to God. My first thing is they're probably not saved, but let's say they are. Just being tossed to and fro. But the next thing that's on TV or next ideal or anything, they're immature. See, a mature believer will not be a victim. They won't be tricked. They won't get hurt. They'll continue to be faithful. But it also says, if I can find my verse here, carried about with every wind of doctrine. And if you start studying that word, it carries the idea of in a circle. You and I both know people who claim to be saved. I'm going to say claim, because we don't know. Claim to be saved, yet for all their life, they're just going in circles. Well, if they're saved, you know what the problem is? They're immature. They're immature. Just going in circles. See, that's but see, guess what? The mature believer doesn't do that. Now, is the mature believer perfect? Of course not. But they're making progress. Immature Christians are victims because they're not anchored in God's truth. One writer said that immature Christians are subject to every counterfeit truth, humanistic, cultic, demonic, or whatever. Immature Christians are victims to their laziness, carnality, and their sin. The result is that they are victims and will experience very little blessing from their salvation on this side of heaven. Due to the fact you're not living under the protection of God's word. That's what's so sad about a carnal Christian. And they get very little benefit of their salvation on this side of eternity. That's sad. It's sad that a believer, a child of God, is so immature that they're experiencing the same pain and the same scars as an unsaved person. So sad. You know, they may go to heaven, and they will if they're saved. And it's so sad. They're victims because they're not living under the Word of God. Mature believers will not be victims. Mature believers are steady and protected from the harmful ways of sin and world and temptation. Let me ask you this. Are you a victim of your spiritual immaturity? We see the picture of maturity in that they will not be victims, but let her be here. They will be vocal. They'll be telling people the real truth. The problem with immature believers and just sitting here listening to all the garbage that's coming by. Yeah. Okay, I'll do that. Yeah. Now, mature believers not sitting there taking it in. They're out there telling people. They're out there telling the truth. They're telling the truth. And it's not always easy, but what's most important is your spiritual well-being. They're out there speaking the truth in love. The word speak, it carries a double meaning, really. And there's some debate over this. But the word actually means to deal or to act truthfully. A mature Christian doesn't fall for the deception, but is telling others how not to fall. But it goes further than that. It also means living the truth. Speaking truth actually means more than mere speech. It includes the idea of living the truth or dealing in truth. So you say, what are you trying to say? Here it is. Mature Christians not only do what is right, or they don't only know what's right, they also do what's right. So they're not just going out shaking, and I see parents do this sometimes. They love when their kids become rebellious. They love to hit them over the head with a Bible for some. You ought to do this. Yeah, they're not doing it. That's not a mature Christian. Mature Christians don't only tell what's right. They live what's right. They live what's right. See, I'm afraid in most churches, we have a lot of hearing and preachers, but we don't have many hearers and doers. You aren't going to be very effective by anyone by speaking truth if you're not living the truth. Maturity isn't just knowing the truth and pointing your finger at everybody. Maturity is actually doing it. By the way, in James 1:22. I think it's one Wimpy that said it like this. He said the whole book of James is a mark of mature believers. And guess what James said in verse 1, chapter 22? Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. We have, most American Christians think that maturity means knowing how to quote Bible verses and telling everyone else what they're doing wrong. Now, there's a time, Brother Mark. There's a time, again, I'll say it here in a minute. There's a time for that. And even that word, speak the truth in love. We should become alone people. I think Hebrews says, come along them that are feeble. We should be doing that. But we got to make sure that we're living it as well. We ought to be doers only. So, maturity isn't just about knowing what to do, it's doing it. Also, maturity isn't just about living it, it's also helping others not be deceived. So you see the progression here? It's not just about knowing, it's taking out knowledge and then doing it. Then it's not just that, it's not just doing it, it's also helping other people to do the same thing. By the way, it's very, very biblical. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, even your spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, then thou also be tempted. So we do need to speak up. We do need to tell people that they're wrong, but in the right way. And in the right order. See, what a lot of people do what a lot of people, we get the knowledge, and we like to skip by us. We skip us. And we like to run all the way over here to whoever's doing something wrong, and we like to preach to them. That's what I mean. We have a lot of hearers and preachers, but we don't have a lot of hearers and doers. We got to make sure that we hear it, we do it, and then, we'll talk about it in a minute, in love, we help others. That's spiritual maturity. That is a picture. See, it's both living it and helping others live it in the right manner. Maturity, spiritual maturity, is one who is steadfast and doesn't become a victim to the world, flesh, and Satan and sin, and enabled to help others by living the truth and showing others the truth in love. That is a picture of spiritual maturity. Now, how are you doing? How are you doing? See, it's not about how many verses you can quote. It's not about, a lot of this is important, but it's not about how many services you come to. It is. I mean, it's good, but it's not. It's about how much of you taking the Word of God and doing it yourself and helping others, equipping others to do the same thing. That is spiritual maturity. And by the way, here's a little side note. If you want a clearer picture of spiritual maturity, study the book of James. We've looked at the principle of maturity. We've looked at the picture of spiritual maturity. Now let's look at number three, the product of spiritual maturity. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, we grow up unto him in all things, into the head, even Christ. Now, if we'll give an analogy of a body and how Christ holds it all together, and we're not, I'm on page 9, we gotta get to page 12, and I got about 5 minutes. I gotta go by that clock, right, Brother Darryl? So, this clock's fast, Brother Darryl, so I gotta use this clock. So, by that clock, I got about 7 minutes. By yours, I got maybe 10. But there's a lot of good stuff there, but I wanna hint on a couple of things, because I don't wanna be here all day. The first thing I want you to learn at A here is the power is from Jesus Christ. We've got to remember that, okay? And that's why I said what I said. We've got to do our part. We've got to know it. Man, the power comes from Jesus Christ. And it says there, if you don't, it's easy to miss this. But in verse 15, it says, speaking the truth in love, by we may grow into him, that's Christ, in all things, we is the head, even Christ. I want you to know, John MacArthur said this, the power to equip and mature in loving, authentic, it's not in the believer themselves, it's not in their leader or in their church structure. The body receives the authority and direction of power, and it grows up in all aspects into Christ. Christ is where we get the power, which is why, you know, you gotta walk with God, okay? It's not just about going home and studying this like a textbook, okay? It's not about that. It's more than that. It's about walking with God. A relationship, okay? That's where you're going to get the power to be mature. If we're going to be mature, we're going to follow God's truth, which essentially is doing this, living like Christ. Truth is paramount. Verse 15, we said it, but speaking in truth, we have to follow the truth, we have to be like Christ. But here's the thing, that's where the power comes from. But what I want to look at mostly is the product. Letter B is the product of being like Jesus Christ. Spiritual maturity produces Christ-likeness. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm basically just repeating some of the things I've already said. But we're coming in a full circle. Spiritual maturity is nothing different than being like Christ. And here's the thing. I want you to answer this question. What is the one thing you can do to be like Christ? Love. Brother Mike said it. I'm going to sing about one of the most important things there is. The love of God. See, look at verse 15. And he says, speaking the truth in love. And then verse 16, it says, for the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working and the measure of every part. By the way, the context, I know we got away from the context a little bit, but remember, the Jews and Gentiles are in this church, and they all go together. And he says, that every part makes the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. When we become like Christ, that's the product. The product, the maturity, if we become like Christ. Guess what Christ did? Christ loved people. And each member grows and helps others grow, and the whole body is healthy, and it's growing, and it's full of love. There's no better way to be like Christ than to love. The product of spiritual maturity is being like Christ, and there's one special thing, love. John 13 says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men know that you are my disciples, and you have love for one another." I think it's so interesting, Brother Darrell, and I said this about 2 or 3 months ago, I think. It didn't say we know them by our rigid stand, right? And it didn't say they'll know us by our frowns. It said they'll know us by our love for one another. How mature are you? I'll ask you this. How much do you love? I'm going to sound like a broken record. But when you see people, do you have contempt or compassion? Hey. I mean, there's not just unsaved people, even in here. When I do something that you don't like, do you have contempt or compassion? When Brother Darrell does something that I don't like, do I react in contempt or compassion? When I'm at the house and my wife does something I don't like, do I react in contempt or compassion? That's going to tell how spiritually mature you are. Matthew 9:38, but when he, talking about Jesus, saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. I'm afraid, I know it sounds like a broken record, but I'm afraid that when we go to Walmart and we look at the multitude, we have contempt. We don't have compassion. When we look out at people and we see people going about their lives, and I'm afraid that we don't have compassion, we have contempt. See, the product of spiritual maturity is being like Christ, and Christ, when he saw people, he loved them. If you don't have the love that you should, then you're not as mature as you think you are. If your love doesn't move to action, then you're not as mature as you think you are. And you say, well, you just make a big deal. No, love's pretty important. Listen to this. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods and feed the poor, and by the way, we preached this before 2 different times, actually, that bestow means you take your money and give it out and strategically give it out to help as many people possible. And said, if I do that, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity and envy is not. Charity is not itself, is not puffed up, doeth not behave itself unseemly, speaking not her own, and is not easily provoked, thinking no evil. It's really important. And I'm going to tell you, part of the problem in our churches is that we don't have compassion. Now, I've always said, you know what I stand, I'm not saying compromise, and I know that the world may not define what we do as love, doesn't mean it's not. Okay, I understand that, you know, but just because the world says, well, you're not loving me, doesn't mean that we're not. But do we have compassion? Or do we like to wag our finger at people? I just can't believe that. What do we have? Just because you know the Bible, just because you know theology, just because you don't do bad things or wrong with those who do, doesn't mean you're mature. Actually, if you're lacking love, then you aren't mature. Because spiritual maturity produces Christ-like love. And by the way, we need both. If you don't realize point one, you got to know the truth. That's basically what I said. Okay, in case you didn't catch that, it takes both truth and love to be mature. Point one, we need to know the knowledge of Christ, okay? But the problem sometimes, for the mark, some of us like to run, man, I'm this way, we like to run so far with truth that we become uncompassionate. When there's other people who say, and they become so tolerant of everything, they're not being biblical. And if you came on Wednesday nights, you'll know what I'm fitting to say. Let me see what I can find here. Well, I'll say this, really. Many believers desire at some point to be mature believers. Some become zealous rigid follower of God's command, yet lack compassion. Yet some become loving and forgiving like God, yet omit God's truth. Let me tell you what Max Lucado said. Now, he's going to call it truth and grace, okay? But we can use compassion, too. He said, I've tilted in both directions. He said, I've been so zealous for truth that I've forgotten grace, and I've been such a crusader for tolerance that I've omitted truth. See what I'm saying? There's a balance. To be mature, we've got to be like Christ. We've got to love. But at the same time, we've got to know God's truth. And the problem with so many people, and Matt Lucado said, if you were here on Wednesday night, you missed a great study. But hey, he said, we got to strike a balance. And I'm afraid, and I don't know where it's at. I think I've skipped it already. But I think from my perspective, growing up in a very conservative church, going to a conservative Christian college, I am conservative. And yet sometimes I think we have truth, which is very important. I love studying the truth. I love preaching the truth. But we're not careful. If we meet up compassion, then we're not right either. And then probably some people, you may have a perspective where you went somewhere and all they talk about was love, and they didn't care how you lived. And didn't care about truth. It takes the balance of both. And that is the product of spiritual maturity. Is somebody who knows and grows in the truth, but also grows in love. So a spiritual maturity is knowing the Word of God. But I'm afraid a lot of us probably in the way we are conservatives. And this is very important. I mean, out there, I got up there, learn it, love it, live it, the Word, that's so important. But let's make sure we have compassion with that. That's a product of spiritual maturity. As we close here, in conclusion, I want to just challenge you to do this. I want to challenge you to act your age. I want to challenge you to strive to be mature. See, I think that's the thing. That's what's so frustrating sometimes. And it's great that you come, but are you striving even today to be mature, to grow, and to grow? You know, want the Lord, read your Bible, pray every day, and grow. Now, don't just apply to kids. It applies to us. We shouldn't be concerned about just knowing truth and having theological discussion. We should be concerned about living it. Knowing it and living it. And in the key part, helping others live it in love. It says speaking in love. Come beside them, those who are fallen, and those who are spiritual. Consider yourself in a spirit of meekness. See, that's the thing. Spiritual maturity is knowing what's right, but also applying what's right to your life, and also helping others in the right way. Let's do that today. We stand on our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. And Miss Tammy and Miss Brenda come to play. I want to ask you, how are you doing? I want to know something. I know that anyone in this room who's saved needs discernment. You know why? Because we can't be like Christ fully until when we die and go to heaven. So if you're sitting in this room, you have room to grow. You have room to grow. I know I have room to grow. I mean, I didn't think about the last 2 days. You start thinking about, man, I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have done that. That wasn't like Christ. That wasn't compassionate. I mean, I'm telling you, you can go today and say, I'm going to be 100% compassionate. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to laugh very long for me. It's tough to be like Christ. Man, Jesus, man, he was in a bad situation even before he was crucified. He had to deal with people who were pretty stubborn. Yet he didn't get an attitude like I do sometimes. He didn't get grumpy like I do sometimes. Hey, I can be mean sometimes and ugly and rude. He never did that. Because he was Christ. We need to do the same thing. They begin to play. If God's spoken to you, maybe you need to come down here. Maybe, Maybe you are immature, and maybe you're being tossed to and fro, and maybe you're just going all over the place because you are a child. Now, you're maybe a child of God, but you're also just a child, spiritually speaking. You're not mature. I don't know what it is for you, but I want to encourage you to strive to be mature.